السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. المسلم أخو المسلم، لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره. التقوى هاهنا، ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام، دمه وماله وعرضه. رواه مسلم. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who are listening over streaming and over the receivers. In this hadith sharif of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, advised the companions, the Sahaba Kiram, the glorious companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before we go any further, just in order to contextualize and understand the situation and the scenario, that who were the Sahaba Kiram prior to the Nubu'ah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and prior to coming into the Suhbah and the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They were Arabs who had such qualities and tendencies and evil habits and ways that the superpowers of those times were not interested in ruling over them, because they considered the Arabs as if they were wild animals. They were not civilized. They had no ways and mannerisms. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to such a nation who had such evil ways and habits, but he made such an effort on them, and such a remarkable effort on them, that they became glorious shining stars, who we say today, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Such qualities were entrenched and imbibed within the lives of Sahaba-i-Kiram, that today when we read the stories of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, we marvel at the effort that was made upon them, and the barakah and the blessings of the tawajjuh of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the focus of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon them. Many incidents of the Sahaba Ikram, how selfless they became. Previously they were living in a world which we would say is me, myself and I. But eventually what had happened to them, it is mentioned in Fazail Amal with regards to one incident that took place in a particular battle, that there were many Sahaba Ikram who were injured. And certain Sahaba were appointed with the task and duty of tending to those who were injured, who were wounded, who were in need. So this particular Sahabi narrates that I was going and giving water to those who were in need. And he said, I heard from those who were injured somebody calling out for water. So I rushed to him. And when I reached him, I found that he was in the last few strands of his life, last stages of his life. I was about to give him that water which he so needed. But as I was about to give it to him, a few meters away, there was another Sahabi who called out for water. He said, this Sahabi refused. He said, no, first you give him water. So he said, I then rushed to the second Sahabi. The same thing happened. Another Sahabi further down called out for water. He said, no, first you give him water. By the time I reached the third Sahabi, he had passed away. I reverted to the second one. He had passed away. I reverted to the first. He had passed away. In other words, the Sahaba-i-Kiram were prepared to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the fellow Muslim brother. This was the effort that was made on them. Respected elders and brothers, we sometimes become confined and restricted in our thoughts and our focus. And we feel that to be pious means that we perform our 5 times salah. We are punctual with our tasbihat and our tilawat of Quran Sharif. We are sitting in the company of the mashayikh. We are giving time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are involved in the activities of the madrasa. Sometimes we think this is piety and it stops there. But respected elders and brothers, there is much more to it. Together with working with the external and improving the external self, one has to make a concerted effort and in fact sometimes even a much more intense effort to improve and enhance one's inner self. And this was the difference between us and the difference between the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Today we see, mashallah, the Muslims are over 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, fastest growing religion. Nice, lovely slogans to say. But are we really that powerful? Do we really have such an influence over the world? Or in fact, is it that we are, despite being the majority, or despite being such in such large numbers, we are absolutely useless and hopeless? I leave it to you to decide. But what has gone wrong? What has gone wrong? The Sahaba-i-Kiram were the minority, but they were able to overpower large groups. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says that never look at majority and minority on this point of majority and minority. He says that if you look at night, the stars are majority. You cannot even count the stars in the sky. But he says when that one sun rises in the morning, all the stars disappear. He says you can have 1,000 mice in the room, but just bring one cat in that room, and that one meow of the cat, all the mice will run for their lives. Our Hazrat Yunus Patel Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu used to give an example that in Kruger National Park, so you'll find that the bucks or the impalas are the majority, the lions are the minority. But that one roar of the lion causes all those springbok to flee for their lives. In fact, there's one person, so he kept a lion as a pet. He grew up from a cub, so the lion had become domesticated in the home. So, person came to visit him and stayed the night over. He was not informed that this person had a lion roaming around the house. So at night, the person needed to go to relieve himself. So the lights were off, but he noticed there were some two eyes that were glowing in the darkness of the night. So as soon as he switched on the light, the issue of going to the toilet was solved there and there. So the effect of that lion, one lion, but it has such an impact and awe. But today we find that you have the real lion and you have the lion that you find in the museum. They look both the same, resemble each other. And this is an example our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to give, that you'll find the lion in the museum, a little child will go, and one push, in fact they say, please do not touch. Do not touch, because if you will touch this lion, the lion will get injured. The lion will get damaged. And perhaps they will have the similar kind of sign in the Kruger National Park that do not go near the animals, but there it means that if you go near the animals, you'll get injured. What a world of difference. What has changed? What is different? It is what is inside the lion that has changed. One lion outwardly looks like a lion, but internally the qualities of a lion have been taken out. And the other lion is a complete lion. And that is the difference between us and the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Externally, mashallah, the beard is there, the topi is there, turban is there, trousers above the ankle. This is important. But we have stopped there. And very often you will hear, but Maulana, he is in the first saf, but he is doing this and he is doing that. So we shouldn't blame the first saf. The first saf doesn't instruct a person to do haram. Yes, what we should say is that the person, he's reached the first saf, but he hasn't gone further than that. He hasn't brought the qualities of the people of the first saf into his heart. And this is what this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the same effort that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made on Sahaba-i-Kiram, to develop those internal qualities within ourselves. And in this hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, lengthy hadith, obviously in the time that we have, it is not possible to discuss every aspect of the hadith, but whatever little we can develop into our lives, the main thing is that when we come for these programs, do not come for entertainment purposes. Unfortunately, we are attending programs, and the intention is, let's see how nice and how well the speaker can express himself, and he used a lot of adverbs and adjectives, and his grammatical structure was very excellent and eloquent, and he expresses himself very well, and he's well versed with what is happening in current times, and we stop there. What were the advices given? Can I implement in my life some of those advices? These are the weaknesses that I have in my life. Wallahi, if we come for every Jummah with this intention, that Ya Allah, I want to learn something for this Jummah and implement it into my life. If we sit with this niyat, Allah Ta'ala will inspire the speaker to then mention such things, which later on we'll say, the person will come to you and say, Maulana, you know, as if the bayan was meant for me. Why? Because the person sat with that intention. May Allah Ta'ala grant me that kind of insincerity and grant all of us that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commenced his advice to Sahaba ikram with what? La tahasad. That, oh my beloved companions, my Sahaba ikram, do not harbor jealousy for one another. Do not be jealous against one another. This quality of jealousy is a very dangerous quality. And why is jealousy haram? Ulama ikram state that jealousy is completely haram. It's forbidden. One of the reasons is that the person who is jealous is actually, effectively, he is angry with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has decided that so in, or such and such a person should get so much of wealth, that a certain person should be blessed with beauty or handsomeness, a certain woman should be blessed with beauty, a certain individual should be blessed with certain qualities. So this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض. The verse of the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to that effect. Allah ta'ala is the one who makes these decisions and these distributions. So now when a person is jealous, he's upset. In other words, he's saying that, Ya Allah, why did you give this person this particular bounty? He's angry with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's couplets that we have heard many, many times in the life of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayh, the couplets of Shah Muhammad Ahmad sahab, Pratapgari, Nawar Allah marqadahu, ke hasad ki aag mein tum kyu jal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein tum kyu jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyu chal rahe ho? That why are you burning in this fire of jealousy? And really, a person who is jealous is actually burning himself within. He's making himself miserable. Jahannam ki taraf tum kyu chal? Why are you walking towards the fire of Jahannam? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Innal hasada ya'kulul hasanat kama ta'kulun narul hatab." That this jealousy devours, consumes our good deeds, just as the fire devours dry wood. Now a person is doing good deeds, waking up for tahajjud salah, giving charities, in the first saf of the masjid, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. But the quality inside is that he has got jealousy. It's something that we cannot see. We have to introspect within our own hearts. And why am I angry when this person has purchased a new vehicle? Why am I angry when this person is getting this kind of acknowledgement in the community? Why am I upset? I'm actually angry with Allah's decision. So then what is the solution for anger? For jealousy rather. The solution for jealousy is that immediately make dua for that person. When a person makes dua, he is wishing well for the person. Ijtima'u ad-diddain mahal. Two opposites cannot be reconciled. It's either day or it's night. Cannot be both the same at the same time. So the person is wishing well for the person. He cannot be jealous. So when you see the person pulled out a new vehicle, so then say, Ya Allah, bless him in this vehicle. Increase him. Give him comfort. Bless him with safety. Bless him with security. Increase him in his bounties. Say it from within the heart. Do not burn. Jahannam ki taraf tum kyu chal rahe? Khuda ke taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Are you angry with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So therefore, this is the reason why jealousy is so dangerous. In fact, it is mentioned that one of the sicknesses and one of the mistakes, major errors of shaitan and iblis, was that he was jealous of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِيلٍ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِن. How is it? How did Allah Ta'ala give him such high stage that now the angels must bow down to him when I'm supposed to be superior? So he started burning within himself, and this caused him to be rejected and dejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lesson for us that if we are going to be jealous at our fellow Muslim brother or sister, then effectively if we continue in this way, we are going to be destroying ourselves. لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with regards to our mu'amalat and our mu'asharat and our dealings, that when you are dealing in business, then when one Muslim has, for example, decided to purchase an item, then you should not go. What used to happen is sometimes a person would go just so that that individual ends up paying a higher price. We go and say, no, you know, I'll buy this. Today we'll understand it in auction. The person has got no intention to purchase that item. But just because he wants the potential buyer to pay a higher price for the item, so he goes and he ensures that the bid goes higher and higher. But he's got no intention to buy it. This is prohibited in Islam. This is prohibited in Islam. This is not wishing well for the next person. So this is impermissible. It is haram to do such a thing. وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not hate one another. Do not harbor animosity against one another. Today we find that because of this animosity that's within our hearts, again, it's something that we cannot see, it's abstract. And because we cannot see it, we sometimes become oblivious of it and we neglect it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that on the night of Qadr, on the night of Bara'a, many people will be freed from the fire of Jahannam, many people will be forgiven on this night. But amongst the categories of individuals who will be deprived on this particular night, is that individual who has got malice and hatred for his fellow Muslim brother or sister. This in itself explains to us how serious a sin this is, that it is so dangerous that it prevents the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being focused on an individual. And Allah ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy is so vast that it encompasses and envelops everything. But this tells us how serious animosity is, that it prevents such vast mercy from being focused on an individual. May Allah protect us. May Allah purify our hearts. One thing we should do every night is that before we sleep, we should make this intention that, Ya Allah, any person who has hurt me in any way, or any encounter I may have had in the day, by means of which some animosity could have been created in my heart, Ya Allah, I forgive that person from the bottom of my heart. I forgive that person from the bottom of my heart. Ya Allah, I have violated so many of your commands. I have trespassed so many of your boundaries. And you have continuously forgiven me and forgiven me. So Ya Allah, therefore I will forgive you. And that is why one of the qualities of the Ahlullah and the Muttaqeen, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They always forgiving people, forgiving people. This is a quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a quality of Anbiya alayhim as-salam. La tathreeba alaykum al-yawm. Yaghfirullahu lakum. No revenge. May Allah forgive you. Wa la tadabaru. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not turn your back against one another. Person turns his face away from the next individual out of animosity, out of ill feelings. Meet one another with love. That's what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned thereafter. Wa kunu ibadallahi ikhwana. That be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as brothers. Muhaddithin have explained this word ibadah into two categories, or to two angles they've looked at it. That if the person develops this quality of abdiyat, servitude, tu barai bandagi hai yaad rak. Remember, you have been created for the bandagi and the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, substantiated by the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We are the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if I am a banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am a slave. In it is a hint at developing the quality of humility and tawadu. The person who is a slave, he is a humble individual. He takes commands from his master. He is not proud. The person who is employed, so when the employer gives him an instruction, he says, whatever you have said, yes boss, whatever you say. Because he understands that this person has got authority over me. I have been employed. I am under him. He has authority over me. Similarly, we are the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our Rabb. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if we develop this quality of humility and tawadu, and we get rid of this quality of pride, which is a killer disease. We all know the physical killer diseases, cancer, and these kind of diseases. So pride could be compared to cancer in terms of the spiritual world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us of this evil disease of pride. Never ever look down upon every individual. Our ulama ikram had advised that when a person wakes up every morning, he should address himself. Ya Allah, main tamam makhlooq se kam tar hu fil hal. That, O Allah, from your entire makhlooq, I am the weakest, I am the lowest, I am the most sinful. This was a salient feature in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the life of the sahaba ikram. And the other angle is, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. That if a person has got this quality of abdiyat and he considers this fact, that just as I am the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my fellow brother is also the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looks at this nisbat, that we are both linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore I need to consider him. I need to consider him. And this is the secret to love his brothers. The person may be connected to each other through blood, but still you will find that blood brothers are fighting with one another. We say, this is my brother, we are both from the same town. So there also we find a connection that I am linked to him because we are coming from the same town. This is my brother because we studied in the same institute. So we are linking ourselves due to that. Here Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be brothers of one another by linking yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this link, if we develop this link, that if each brother says, I am the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to fulfill his right. He needs to fulfill my rights. Rather, we shouldn't even focus on that. As my Yunus Sahib rahmatullah used to say, and I correct myself on that do not go by the book of my rights. Do not go by the book of my rights. Go by the book of love, ihsan and khidmat. Unfortunately, this is the mistake we make. But he hasn't fulfilled my right. Now, we should ask ourselves, have I gone the extra mile? Have I made ihsan upon him? Have I shown him kindness? Have I shown this individual love? On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will reward us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time has expired, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are intelligent, those who invest in the akhirat, those who make sure that they have transferred the currency of this world into the currency of the akhirat. We know that when we travel, we make sure that we have taken currency. We've taken currency, something mustn't go wrong. I'll be able to pay in that particular currency of that country. What about on the day of Qiyamah? The currency of the Akhirat is A'mal-e-Saliha. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the intelligent ones, those who invest in the Akhirat, that on the day of the Qiyamah, they protect the A'mal. Now look at these qualities of jealousy, of anger, of malice. A person is doing good deeds, but because of these evil qualities, unfortunately, he is basically hijacking, all his good deeds are being hijacked. As Mu'ayyim Sahib Rahmatullah used to reach the poetry of Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Ali, that the robbers and the criminals have broken into your home from behind. You are protecting the front, you have put the security in the front, but the enemies and the robbers have made a big hole in the back and they are stealing everything from inside. This is what has happened, that within our own lives we have got such qualities and we have made such holes, unfortunately, because of which shaitan and nafs are hijacking all our a'mal and good deeds. On the day of Qiyamah when we go, we see we have nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. Bless us with hearts which are musaffa, mujalla, muzakka. Hearts which are shining and brimming with the ma'rifat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.